I'm Hillary. That's your 4 minute buzz. And now here's Glennon Stew with the start of the show.
I was thinking the same thing. She really does.
You should hear mine. I'll belt anything out.
No, let's not. Let's not do that.
No, really. I don't mind.
Let me talk to you about Relief Factor. You want to get out of pain? 100% drug free. Created by doctors. Four key ingredients. It helps your body fight against inflammation. You can't sleep through the night. You have neck, shoulder, back, hip, knee pain, foot pain, whatever it is. What are the things you can't do because of pain? Just going for a walk, playing golf, playing tennis, playing with your kids. 3 week quick start, $19.95, dollar a day. It's like a trial pack. 70% of the people who order the 3 week quick start go on to order more. That says a lot. Here's what says more. Worked for me. This has been a paid commercial on this network for years. I didn't start talking about them until it worked for me. Try it. Get your life back. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Try their quick start right now. ReliefFactor.com.
15 seconds.
Okay, we've got a full packed show today. We've got all kinds of things, including a look at the debate tonight that you don't want to miss. Coming up.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Democrats really have a choice, and we begin this choice tonight with the first debate. We'll tell you all about it. But Democrats really have a choice between somebody who says, I have to make deep structural changes in the way the American economy even works. We're not going to do this free market thing anymore. We're going to change the way the Supreme Court works. Somebody who wants to burn the system down, or somebody who says, I just want to restore sanity. We can get this thing back on track. Which one will the Democrats choose? The Republicans decided on the pitchfork guy. You know what? Burn it down. Well, the left is just as pitchforky now as the right was. Could they go for somebody who is a flamethrower that actually does want to burn the system down? Donald Trump didn't want to do that. He wanted to clean out the mess. They want to actually change the system. We'll talk about that and the tactics that they're using to discredit Donald Trump. And right now, it's just becoming hysterical. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, so let me tell you about our sponsor. It is LifeLock. If you've ever used banks, the digital payment service to send somebody money, wire transfer, digital payment, cyber thieves have now found a way to steal from your bank account by using that service, the digital banking and digital payment service. Scammers are using a combination of spoofed phone calls that look like they're coming from your bank, hacked text messages, ultimately breaking into consumer bank accounts and stealing their money. This just happened to Stu. He got a call from Apple, and it said on the ID, Apple, mm-hmm. and it had their customer care number.
Yeah, and of course, and I checked, to make sure it was the real number. It was the real number. They had spoofed the Apple number on an Apple iPhone to tell me that I was in big trouble and needed to press this button to talk to a customer service representative. Now, luckily, I've had enough of these things that I didn't do that.
I would have pushed it.
You think?
Yeah, okay. Well, no. I wouldn't. I wouldn't have answered it. I don't care who it is. I don't.
My big rule is if someone calls me for any reason that's an important thing, I will go get the number like off the back of my credit card.
Correct.
Never call back the number they leave you, ever.
Correct.
Or press the button to be connected to someone.
Correct.
Always just hang up and then call the company directly on the number that you know is their number.
So the reason why I bring this up is this is how good they're getting at getting your information. You just don't know. I think that's a great rule of thumb. Yeah. Just, okay, fine, take the number and then go look up the real number on the back of your credit card or online and call that number and say, hey, I just got a phone call from Mr. Higgins, and is this real? Anyway, LifeLock will detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if there's a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist, they've got a team
to work on it and work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but if you join right now, you're going to get the best out there, the best protection available, and an extra 10% off your first year. Just use the promo code BECK. 1-800-LIFELOCK. Head to lifelock.com. Use the promo code BECK. Get an extra 10% off. It's 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com. So I want to start with some audio. This is how crazy and desperate. Yesterday, I posted something about Project Veritas. I said, this is the most important story, possibly one of the top three stories of the year. I think it's the most important story because it's showing how Google is trying to manipulate you, what their plans are to control information and to control and program people. It is a very important story. I had so many people write back or tweet, oh yeah, right, like you're not talking about the woman who Donald Trump raped. Are you kidding me? You believe this? Here's the Trump accuser on CNN with Anderson Cooper, who knows he's in the Titanic. He's standing on the part of the Titanic that snaps in half. He knows. He's like, I got to get to a lifeboat. We're going to take a break. I got to get to a lifeboat. And she just makes it worse. Listen to this.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished, which the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual. It hurt.
But I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
What? Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
I'm on the Titanic.
What? We're just going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Oh my gosh, that was just creepy. You're fascinating to talk to. Would you have a rape fantasy about me right now? What was that?
Very strange.
Very strange. Now, she also has the clothing, and she's never worn the clothing since.
The clothing she was wearing on the day that she was supposedly raped by
violently
Trump.
Raped by Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here she is about, well, you have it. Let's take it in for DNA testing. Listen.
The mayor of New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio, who, of course, is running against President Trump, has said that if you were to bring a case forward, he will pursue it. He will have the New York City Police Department pursue it. So do you want to pursue this?
It is the greatest police department in the world. The detectives are great in New York. The thing is, it's past the time. It's experts. I've been talking to experts, and they say that we've passed
the statute of limitations.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, there was a statute of limitations in place at the time that this happened in late 1995 or 96. That has since changed. And Mayor de Blasio, when he heard your story, said that he would pursue on your behalf an investigation. And so you have the dress that you were wearing. You don't, I'm sure, still have the tights. But would you consider doing that?
I consider it, but the experts are telling me that.
So you've consulted lawyers.
Yeah. Well, they've written to me. I've never consulted a lawyer in my life. It's not something I would do. They have, emailed me to tell me that, as you say, the statute of limitations has passed because I don't know the legal. I don't want to say what, because I don't know what it is.
Huh? You might be lying. I'm just saying you might be lying.
Does it seem, I've heard people speculate that maybe she was a little maybe tipsy on this particular interview. I mean, she's certainly slurring words and such.
Okay. So I've talked to experts. Mm-hmm. I've talked to many experts, and they all say the same thing. And they tell me straight up. They say whatever you get out of this conversation, I want you to remember. I don't remember what they said out of that, but they told me stuff, And I'm telling you, it's past the time.
I mean,
buy my book.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's really, the point.
That's because really it.
Why would you tell a story like this at this time?
Yeah. Right?
But you go 20 years, 25 years without telling the story about this, you know, alleged assault.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We were at Bergdorf Goodman's.
Yeah, Bergdorf Goodman's. Is that what you said?
Bergdorf Goodman's. And we're there, and he was touching lingerie in a very rapey sort of way, okay? Mm-hmm. And he came up to me and said, hey, would you try this lingerie on for me? And I said, well, that's kind of a strange request, because usually people don't like you try on like underwear and stuff.
You don't usually do that.
And there was nobody around. And so I said, okay, I'll just go into this room. Would you like to be there while I change into this lingerie? And he said, would I? And I said, right. And so he was. And he was, I distinctly remember he was wearing a trench coat. Or a overcoat. Or a big long... I mean, it's just his tie was in the way of his wee-wee. So I couldn't tell that he opened up his fly. But I talked to a lot of people, and it happens.
Right. Yeah, because that's an amazing... It just does not seem to hold up to the very basic levels of a credibility check.
Yeah.
Because a couple things. Mm-hmm. Number one... you are releasing this book 25 years later. What's your purpose of that, right? Just to tell the story randomly?
Truth?
Well, true. Okay. You want people to know the truth about Donald Trump, right?
Truth.
All right. You want people to know the truth about Donald Trump, that he's this really bad guy.
That's exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So you want that to happen. What you have now is the mayor of the city, who could actually look into this, is telling you, we will look into this. Now, despite whether he actually can or not.
He doesn't understand the law.
Like the people that emailed you that you didn't consult?
I got a text message.
Yeah.
Just a little while.
But the added advantage here, and this is a miracle situation, if you're in this situation, you're writing a book, you're trying to obviously let people know the truth about this awful person who's a president of the United States and up for election and all these things, is the mayor of the city is also running for president against this person. So he is incredibly motivated to find anything negative about Donald Trump.
Here's what says it all. Let me go and reframe this CNN interview with Anderson Cooper. Play this again.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished.
The
word rape carries so many sexual connotations.
Yeah.
This was not sexual.
Stop for a second. Listen to her. When you start listening to her like this, play it again, because she's like, this was not sexual. This was horrible. Listen to her.
Yeah.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished.
Not ravished.
Which the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual. It just hurt.
I think most people think of rape as a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
What?
Let's take a short break.
No, listen.
Let's take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk about the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Okay. So now, what would I do in that situation? What would any journalist that was really trying to get to the truth do in that situation? What would a journalist do? Even if he's hammered out of his mind, what is the one thing you would never do at that moment?
I mean,
take a break. Right? Yeah. You'd never take a break. You'd say, I know I'm supposed to take a break here, but hold on just a second. You have her on the ropes.
Right,
wait a minute. You think you have now a chance to take her apart because it's all starting to unravel. The last thing you do, unless you're part of the defense of this woman, not prosecution or looking for the truth, if you're part of the defense, you immediately go, Your Honor, we need a recess.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the argument, look, it's a woman who's claiming to be, claiming to be raped. And usually those people are not attacked in an interview. However, if it was a Republican who, you know, if it was, you know, Roy Moore, no, who's on the air and he's being pressed and he says something like that, like that's not going to be just like.
Right. Forget about politics for a second.
Yeah.
If you are trying to find the truth, you don't take a 4-minute break where one of her handlers can come up to her and go, we should end this interview.
Right.
Or you're looking really stupid. Would you shut up? Right. You do not do that.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the argument it's not political, I think, as you are, and that it's a gentle treatment of someone who says they were assaulted. Mm-hmm. However, I think when it comes down to it, on the other side, that would not be the treatment by most of the media.
No, it wouldn't. All right. Come back in just a second. People feel passionately about this, so we'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. Stand by first. Me too. I need to get on with my life. You need to get on with your life. Here it is. If you're in constant pain, you are not alone. And I know this because I was in constant pain. Couldn't take it. Got up every single day and thought, I can't do this for another day. That's not good. That's no way to live your life. And I mean, that would happen to me on days that I was, off. And just had to be there with my family and just had to, do normal stuff, not even work. How do you live in that kind of pain? Well, Relief Factor is here and it has helped me a great deal with my pain. Feel the best I've felt in 5 or 6 years. 100% free, created by doctors, whatever it is, whatever your pain level is. Please try this. It reduces the inflammation naturally in your body. 70% of the people that take this find relief. Please just try it. Call Relief Factor now. The number is 800-583-84. 800-583-84. It's relieffactor.com. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. Sandy. All right, let's go to Sandy. Hello, Sandy.
Hi.
Sandy, are you okay?
You just brought up a lot of memories today as I'm listening to the program.
Really? Yeah. I'm sorry to do that. What exactly happened?
I would just like to report a credible accusation of assault against the President of the United States.
Okay. With you? You were assaulted by...
I was assaulted by Donald Trump.
Okay.
And I've never told this story before.
All right.
It happened on September 31st, 1938.
Yes.
1938?
Yes. Was Donald Trump even...
September 31st, 1938, here I am. I'm standing at an Apple store, and I'm purchasing an iPad.
Okay, there's no...
And I look behind the Genius Bar, and there's Donald Trump. You've heard him say he's one of the most brilliant geniuses in the world. It's true. I saw him at the Genius Bar. And I thought he was going to help me with my purchase. And instead, he put his hands on me, and he began to strangle me.
He began to strangle you.
Yes, and then...
Wow, that's...
And then, when it happened, Donald Trump murdered me. It was terrible.
Well, hang on.
And I've never told this story before.
Okay.
And he murdered me right in the middle of the Apple store.
Okay, what date did this happen? Because you were very...
September 31st, 1938.
Okay. Donald Trump was born June 14th, 1946.
Oh, is that what he's saying now?
No, that's what it is.
Let me tell you something. # believe all women.
Okay, but I just want to tell you that
Look it up. Look up the date right now. You'll see. Look on your calendar. September 31st, 1938. Check it out.
September 31st.
1938.
The 31st.
Yeah, September 31st.
31st.
Yes, it was a leap year.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
Just stop questioning me. Why?
All right, 1938.
I was attacked.
Okay, I'm looking it up, and the
and I can prove this, okay? I contemporaneously told three friends.
You contemporaneously?
Yes, at the time, I told three friends about the
attack. You told three friends?
Yes, Alyssa Milano.
All right.
Arianna Huffington.
None of them
and
were.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay,
they all know about it. Ask them.
They know, but
why won't you ask
none
them?
Of them? Because none of them were alive in 1938.
You can read all about it in my book. It's coming out right now.
Right.
It's also, well, it's only available for people who are premium subscribers. Mm-hmm. If they just have to purchase the membership, mm-hmm. and then if they pledge a certain amount. Oh, no, Donald Trump is killing me again.
No, no, it's he's not.
You're again.
Okay, he's not. All right. Well, we've lost. I think we've lost Sandy. But it was a thrilling tale of her murder, September 31st, mm-hmm. 1938. Of course.
One other thing on this, Glenn. I would like to get your individual perspective.
Oh, hi, Stu.
You happen? Oh, hi.
You missed a conversation with me and Sandy.
Sorry, I was in the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay.
So there was you have a relative, close relative, who used to work at the store and where this occurred, Bergdorf
yes.
Goodman.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
You've been in there, obviously. He
yes.
was working there when your daughter met him, right?
Okay, we're narrowing it down.
Okay.
Very close relative. My daughter married him.
No, I'm just... Tim. I mean, like, I have to explain
gosh,
who Tim is
this.
In any way.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to explain
so my
to the audience.
Yeah, so my son-in-law
yes.
worked at Bergdorf Goodman.
Right. So
right.
My question would be, and maybe it's changed over the years. I don't think he was working there in 1996.
No.
But not that far after that, right? He was like
no,
mid-2000s,
early 2000s. Early 2000s, yeah.
My impression of the store, which
yes.
is like the most like ritzy store in the universe,
yes.
is not that you could get away
mm-hmm.
with a sexual assault in the middle of it.
You can get away with a lot in that store.
You can?
But not. Well, here's the thing. Tim has told me these absolute horror stories
mm-hmm.
that have happened to him in Bergdorf. First of all, people who shop at Bergdorf, they just think that they have no, the normal rules don't apply to them.
Right.
Many of these people. Okay. This is a place that honestly, it's a block long on the, for the men's store, half a block on the men's store. And it's a full city, New York City block for the women's
mm-hmm.
store. Okay. The t-shirts are like, I'm not kidding, $700. My wife and I, we went to Bergdorf's first time we were living there. We were like, oh, let's go to this store. It's hoity-toity. I thought it was mislabeled. Okay, I thought it has to be a $70 t-shirt.
Right.
This is crazy. No, it was a $700 t-shirt. Okay. But there are some things that happen behind the scenes that are stunning. And
You're
tell you about them coming up.
To Glenn Beck.
Oh, let me tell you about Cruise Through History. I'm sorry, I'm already on this cruise. Mm-hmm. We are going next spring. We really want you to come. You never have to take out your wallet, ever. You don't have to tip. You don't have to, well, this isn't included. Everything is included. You're going to go ashore. You're going to go to Athens. You're going to have a tour. You're going to go to Venice. You're going to go to a show with Bill O'Reilly and I. You're going to go through some other shows on the ship with me. You might even go to shore with me and get a tour of Athens. David Barton is doing some of the tours. It's going to be fun. You can drink your face off with Stu, who doesn't drink. Well, he does, but not that much.
Oh, I will on this. Being on a cruise with you for that long, I'll be very drunk.
Anyway, all-inclusive trip, all airfare, all gratuities, all included. They're still offering their early bird discount. You can pay over time. Discount of $400 right now. ComeSailAway.com. That's ComeSailAway.com. Join us next spring. Bring your spouse. Bring your family.
And coming soon, Mercury One has the museum going on. They're building it right now here in the studios. Go to mercuryone.org. It's June 29th to the July 7th. Get your tickets now.
Welcome to the program. We're just talking about this woman who is claiming rape, and it's just so unbelievably ridiculous. She's claiming rape in Bergdorf Goodman's. And Bergdorf Goodman, so you know, is Neiman Marcus on steroids. It is would you say the most exclusive women's and men's store in America?
It's the yeah, one I would, the only one I would be able to name, because it's not like, I mean, what's the level below that that people would know? Like
probably Neiman Marcus.
And yeah, then so you go,
yeah, it's below. So everybody goes, you think Neiman Marcus is like hoity-toity? You haven't seen anything,
right? It's ridiculous.
If you've gone to Bergdorf Goodman,
right? Like, it's ridiculous. No, yeah, no normal human being would go to shop
here.
There.
It's the, do you remember the movie?
A T-shirt would cost $750.
Yeah. It does.
It does.
So remember? Do you remember the movie Arthur?
Yes.
When he first comes in,
yes, I love that.
Yeah, when he first comes in, and Liza Minnelli is stealing a tie, and he's like, "I'll take 10 of those sweaters, six in this color, 14 in that color." Remember? And he's shopping with John Gielgud, and then she takes the tie, and he goes across the street. She goes across the street, and the security guard stops her, and she says, "You stole this tie." And then Dudley Moore steps up and he's like, "No, oh, did you get that tie for me? And you forgot, you didn't forget to put that on my bill. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Bach." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Bergdorf Goodman.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and my son-in-law worked at Bergdorf Goodman. And the stories that he tells me about people, okay, not Bergdorf, but the people who go there.
The clients.
Yeah. They'll come in, and they'll come in with their Great Dane, and their dog will crap in the middle of Bergdorf's, and they won't say anything. They'll just walk away like, "Will somebody please clean this up?" And the Bergdorf people do.
Oof.
I mean, it is crazy. But...
So the customer is never wrong.
The customer is never wrong. And so you could see the customer, if you were known like Donald Trump, you could see going into a dressing room and perhaps fooling around in there. But if there was rape going on and somebody said, "Help," I'm telling you, the Bergdorf people are right there. You're walking around. She said that it was tights or a leotard of some sort.
A bodysuit, I believe.
And why wouldn't you, if you're being raped by Donald Trump, say, "Help!"
Right. You're being raped by anybody.
Come on.
Help. It is so ridiculous. It's not like it's Kmart.
Yeah.
First of all, that bodysuit was probably $500 to $1,000 if it was just like a leotard, okay? You're not putting on, they don't let you try on shoes without socks. Nordstrom's doesn't let you try on, Buster Brown doesn't let you try on shoes without socks. You think they're going to have lingerie or a bodysuit? Oh yeah, just go try this on. No. And all she would have had to do is say, "Help." And I'm telling you, the help would have been there. Now, if somebody was having consensual sex in a room,
now that's different.
I'll bet you that Bergdorf is like, especially for somebody who would spend a lot of money, well, buy a T-shirt. I think they would just be like, "Oh, they were having sex in there, and there's nothing I can do." And because they spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and they wanted to have sex there, so they did. But I'm telling you, they would have been right there because their products are in that room. And so you're not going to believe me, if that was going on, she would have the bodysuit because they would force her to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of nasty to think of the whole process.
And the whole thing, it really is.
Any of it, but.
Really is.
And then you don't, well, she did tell two people, right? Contemporaneously. She told two people. And they kept her secret for all this time. None of that story makes sense to me.
No, none of it does. None of it does.
Especially
she's
the
not
way she's
credible.
Acting now is so
she's
bizarre.
Just not.
Yesterday
credible.
She said rape was sexy.
I know.
Nobody considers rape sexy.
She does.
It sounded like it, yeah.
Quite honestly, which makes her story kind of more real, but as consensual.
Right.
If she has rape fantasies, okay, then. She would go into some store and some guy say, "You look good in that. Why don't you try that on and I'll come in with you?" And as she said herself, she thought, "This is funny. I'm going to make him wear it." And when he said, "No, I'm not going to wear it. It's your size." That's just what? A rape fantasy? Would that be a rape fantasy? Because no woman, no man, no one would ever do that. Imagine somebody coming up and some woman coming up to you in a store and saying, you know, you'd look really sexy in that and really kind of coming on to you. Do you then say, really? I should try that on. You know what? Would you come in with me and just see? What? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that.
No. Yeah.
And that's with a woman.
Yeah, she's
not the other way around.
Her defense on that is that she thought it was funny and playful and did not think anything bad was going to happen. You know, it seems very strange in retrospect, at the very least, but that is what she says. She's like, oh, I just thought he was just coming in. It was going to be funny and I'd have a good story.
Now she does, and she has a book that she is selling to tell that story.
It seems like if someone's going to offer you, the guy who's running against him, Bill de Blasio, running the city of New York, is saying, yeah, I don't care what the statute of limitation is, I'll still go after it, right? Like, I will absolutely investigate him. He has every incentive in the world to do this, and you're like, I don't know, I got an email that said, like, I probably wouldn't work. Like, if your idea here is to prove that the president of the United States is a rapist, which obviously we would all agree that if he actually did this thing, shouldn't be in office and should be in prison.
Yes.
Hopefully for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. This is a horrible thing she's accused him of. Mm-hmm. If it's true, obviously what you want to do is to make sure that he pays a massive price for it. Bill de Blasio, whether it's true or not, will try to prove that it is true.
Now, here's the thing. She doesn't want to pay the price of falsely accusing someone of rape.
She did.
She not file charges.
Okay. You think just because it's in a book?
Yeah. You file. No, I mean, I think Donald Trump could still go after, but he's not going to. Why even? If you're the attorney for the Trump president,
you just want people to stop talking about it.
Move on.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Move on. She has no credibility. So he's not going to sue her. However, if she would file charges, then he can come after her with the weight of the law.
Right. And obviously, you know,
she'd go to jail.
Right. Yes. At least in theory. Imagine, again, if the mayor of your city is offering this sort of assistance, I can't imagine she'd actually get in trouble if it came out that it was fake.
The problem is,
how are you going to, you're never going to be able to prove it's not, it didn't happen. None of us were
you
there.
You can't prove it. It could have happened. Smollett. I mean, look at him.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't even prove that. And they've got video.
Now, look at the video. Did you see the ridiculous video that came out this week?
Yes.
With that noose hanging
around
his head.
Loosely around it. And nobody even cinched it up.
Right.
He was like wearing it like a tie.
Right. Wouldn't you, if that had happened to you, wouldn't the first thing you do would be like, oh my gosh, get that off of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would have that. He's walking around like, hey, come on in. Can I get you some water? You want to take the noose off?
Have you noticed my noose? You just saw that? Yeah, somebody put that around
me. It's on the place. And they got it. They're coming up and like tugging on it and stuff. Okay, just wanted to make sure you all knew that that noose was around my head, my neck. It's ridiculous.
And then as soon as he finds out that their body cam's on, he tells him to turn it off because he doesn't want to be recorded. What actor would want to be recorded?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be really camera shy at that point. Yeah. Don't record me. I'm not used to that. So it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Okay, so who's ready for the big debate tonight?
Oh, I am pumped up.
And Beto and Elizabeth Warren are the two big stars. That's great.
Although Elizabeth Warren is surprisingly
she's on
doing
fire right
well.
Now. Yeah, she's on fire.
She's having a moment.
She is with progressives. They just did this MoveOn.org. Did you see the poll MoveOn did?
No.
She's actually ahead of Bernie with MoveOn.org members by 20 points, 37-17. So she's doing really well with progressives.
I think she is, you know, you look at Bernie and you think he's a crazy old man now. At this
I can't
point.
Think of the single thing that is appealing about that guy. There's nothing.
Yeah, he's the most liberal one, right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say because you had a great show last night on Gillibrand.
Gillibrand
her
is
voting record is
left, worse than his.
Worse than
left
his
of Bernie Sanders. I don't. Who's there? Mao?
I know, especially because she was
like
known as a conservative.
Pol Pot.
She was known as a moderate Democrat forever until she became a senator, and then she's now left of Sanders, which is just laughable. She just does not believe anything, which you proved, I think, beyond a reasonable doubt last night.
Yeah.
For example, Sanders is saying he wants to pay off all college debt,
where mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren is like, well, I want to pay off, you know, college debt, but if you make over $250,000 a year, we're not going to pay off your debt. And Sanders is like, well, I will. Like, she's like, my plan's going to cost $800 billion. Well, mine's going to cost $1.6 trillion. Like, it's like,
I'm also going to give away free ice cream on every street corner in America.
It's incredible how far they go on this stuff. But I mean, they're both basically the same candidate, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they are.
Except
one's 77 years old.
Well, the other one's what, 70?
Yeah, she's pretty close.
She's 69. Close.
She doesn't look like Scuttle from Little Mermaid.
Right, he looks insane. He looks like a nutty professor, right? Like
He does.
Where she, I think, is, you know, built in, by scientists in a lab for the ultimate candidate to be defeated by Donald Trump. Like, she is in his wheelhouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know if you're thinking about electability. I mean, can Bernie Sanders win a national election? It seems completely nuts. And I think Democrats look at it and say, like, there's no way this guy's going to win. He's nuts.
If he can, if he does, then you turn the country off. It's time to just shut it down. Just turn the country off.
Well, I got to tell you, if I were a Democrat, I would be for Beto just for this. Beto is pushing a war tax.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
For non-military households, which would disproportionately hit liberal households much heavier. Because proportionately, the people in the red states are the ones who are going into the military. So if you haven't served in the military, you have to pay a war tax.
And it seems like, too, you'd also be hitting people who are opposed to the war disproportionately.
Correct.
Right?
It's like, this is like, how can I screw my own base, but look like I'm against war? I know.
War tax.
Right. Because the war thing, war tax is basically saying, look, I'm super duper against war. You can trust me. I would never go to war type of thing. Like, it's a dumb sort of anti-war stance. But he can't say he's going to tax the military families, right? Because that is just untenable, right? Like, these people are going over and fighting for our freedom, and they're going to tax them for the war. I mean, that's insane.
So that's how
he gets there, right? But it's
here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to appeal to veterans, saying, I'm going to tax everybody else, but not you, because you've already paid a heavy price.
Of course.
So there's a new war tax going out. And so he's trying to appeal to the veterans, but the veterans are not going to be voting for Beto. I mean, in bulk.
Yeah,
I just don't.
Yeah, Beto's, look, he's not good. You know, everyone was so fired up about him, but we here in Texas were watching the race closely, and it's like, you don't mean this guy. You think this guy's the next president? Like, we've been watching him. His hands are flailing around all the time. Every time he starts talking, he's dripping with sweat. He jumps up on counters like he's a cat.
So
like, he's like, well, just like this is your Kennedy?
He's pretending to be Hispanic.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Elizabeth Warren? She's the big dog tonight, right?
Yes.
Everybody else, does anybody have more than zero?
Yes.
On a platform with her?
Well, Beto and Elizabeth are the only two, right?
Beto has, I think, zero or one.
No, he's like 4%. He's in that third tier. I would put him in that third tier. I mean,
so this isn't the kiddies table. This is the baby's table.
No.
And a babysitter. And Elizabeth Warren is the angry teenager for having to sit there.
Oddly, though, they did break this up randomly. So what they did is they broke up the candidates into above 2% and below 2%. And then they picked them randomly. So Elizabeth Warren basically, I would say, lucked out because she has none of the top tier against her. She's only against these lower candidates.
Yeah, she should dominate tonight.
She should. And it's still, while I think it would be risky later on in the campaign if this happened, because it's very possible people would just not watch it. It's the first debate of the entire election. So I think people will be there at some level.
I just can't wait to see who's going to outleft. I mean, she's asking for reparations for gay and lesbian couples. I mean, I just right. this is just going to be fantastic.
By the way, Cory Booker would be the other one who would be above 1% or 2%. He's at 3 or 4,
he's
maybe.
He's on tonight, too.
So the big three there would be.
Do they all come out in a clown car?
They do all come out in a clown car.
Good.
It is a plug-in hybrid, though.
All right, good. So, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is American Financing. Some said the American dream of buying a home and raising a family was gone forever. Do you remember when Barack Obama and his Treasury Secretary came out and said, look, we just have to get used to it. This is the new normal. You remember when he said that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never going to get better than this. It's always just going to be flat like this. This is the new normal.
Amazing.
Ick. Ick. Well, we know that's not true, but it looked that way in 2008. Fast forward to now, it's remarkable how we have come full circle. The Federal Reserve have kept interest rates so low most Americans can afford their own home. But the sharks that helped create the mess in 08 are back with a vengeance. Zero down payment programs, grants, all kinds of way to buy a home right now. But you need to find the right loan. Please just do your own homework. This is a family-owned and operated mortgage company. It's American Financing, the only mortgage company I have ever endorsed. They don't work for the bank. They work for you. They don't sell you a loan. They look for the right loan for you. Your goals become their goals. AmericanFinancing.net. Call 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net. 800-906-2440.
American Financing Corporation. NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Welcome to the program. So glad that you're here. Next hour, I want to show you and talk to you about a couple of items that happen to be sitting in my studio. The Emancipation Proclamation, the 13th Amendment, both signed by Abraham Lincoln, and the Gettysburg Address. And how you can see these in person at our pop-up museum, mercury1.org.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I'm Hillary. That's your four-minute buzz. And now here's Glenn and Stu with the next hour of the show.
Home title lock. Man, there's so many things that you have to worry about that you shouldn't have to worry about. Okay. It's just a changing world, and everything that we used to do is not secure anymore. So we have to update things. That's why Home Title Lock is here. Home Title Lock is the only company that is standing literally at the virtual gate or the virtual vault door for over 90% of all home titles in America. Somebody can come in and steal your title electronically. It's really easy to do. I mean, it really takes $30. I've seen it done to my house. Take $30 and about 30 minutes and you're done. And you lose your house. They borrow against it. We've had people that have had their houses repossessed. They're the rightful owner. But what are you going to do? You need Home Title Lock. Get registered today. Register your address now and verify that you're not already a victim and get 30 days of free protection. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. HomeTitleLock.com. Do it now. HomeTitleLock.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
So tonight, it's the first debate. Who is going to out-socialize the others? Who is going to be the one? There's two categories that the Democrats have to choose from, really. There's only two groups. One's bigger than the other. And I'll explain those groups and what to watch for tonight. And also, we're going to take a look at the poll numbers. And Stu and I had a conversation earlier. The poll numbers may tell you everything you need to know for not today, but for what is coming after this field is whittled down a few. We'll begin in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
How you feeling? How's your pain level? You know, if you're not in pain, oh man, before I hit 50, 48, I had the pain, aches and pains and getting sick and all that stuff. That never happened. May I recommend two things? One, do not age. If you're currently 30, remain 30. Now, if you can't do that for some reason or another, you don't want to, you're going to start to have pain. I swear to you, this really confirms my thought that the founders, they weren't that brave. They just wanted to die. They were like, I don't know. They could shoot me, but I haven't even had any aspirin. So I'm pretty good. My head hurts all the time. My teeth have rotted out. And have you seen what the dentist is like? No, go ahead. I'm going to fight in a war. Imagine a world without pain relief, without aspirin, without, quite honestly, without drugs. Now we have so many ways to relieve our pain, and pain is a thing of the past if you're willing to go down the road of these narcotics. I'm not willing to go down that road, and I don't think you are either. It's they're bad, and they can slip out of control easily, and they don't kill your pain. They just make you not care about it so much. Oh, wow, I cut my hand off. That's okay. I love you so much. Relief Factor is completely drug-free. It is created by doctors. 3-week quick start, now $19.95. Get out of pain. Get your life back. Clear out the fuzz in your head. Try it. Just try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, you're not out anything. If it does, you're out of pain. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Last night on TV, we did our socialist spotlight, which is always fun to do the socialist spotlight because there are a few socialists out there. And I'm going to give you the update on the socialist that we highlighted yesterday. She's not really a socialist. I don't think she believes in anything. And I make a pretty strong case. She doesn't actually believe in anything. She's in a category really of her own. How many people like that do you think there are up there, Stu? There's some real ideologues, some people who actually believe in stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the difference between Bernie Sanders and Kirsten Gillibrand. They're saying a lot of the same things. Sanders is an ideologue. He went to the Soviet Union on his honeymoon, famously. He actually believes this stuff. You know, Kirsten Gillibrand was known as a conservative in the House and all of a sudden is super liberal now. Like, O'Rourke, you can't tell what O'Rourke actually believes. I mean, he's done the same thing. He's been all over the board depending on who he's in front of. What audience is he in front of? That's who he is. So there's a definite split there as well as to who's a true believer and who realizes the mood of the Democratic Party right now and is moving to fit it.
Okay, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the poll numbers because the poll numbers show that Joe Biden is ahead. Joe Biden has, what, 30?
It depends. Anywhere between 25 and 38. Okay. Like he's showing up.
So let's just say he's at 30.
Sure.
All right. Big lead. However, there are 22 other people on the stand. Now, maybe it's just that when everybody else joins, when everybody else is eliminated, Joe Biden will pick up a lot more points because there's a lot more people like him that people have to choose from. But I don't think that's true because the people that are acting like he is, centrists, they all have zero. So it's it's like everybody who wants to be in the center, who just wants to restore America to sanity, as they would say. I wouldn't say, but as they would say, those people are about 35%, 38%, would you say? Maybe 40.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good opportunity to point that out. And that you're at Biden, let's say he has 30%. Who else is running as a moderate has any? I mean, Klobuchar has one or two. Yang, maybe one or two. Hickenlooper, one. Bennett, one or zero. Bullock, zero. Delaney, zero. Ryan, zero. Moulton,
so you've got
zero.
If he's at 30, you have about 35.
Right.
And now, let's total up the number of the pitchfork people, the people who literally want to overturn the system.
Yeah. So there,
the people who are talking about changing the Constitution, getting rid of the free market, changing the structure of the Supreme Court. I mean, people who are talking about deep, foundational and structural change.
Yeah. I mean, so here's a very typical poll. This is from about a week or so ago. Had Biden at 32, then Sanders at 14. This one had actually Warren at 15. Okay. Then you have Kamala Harris, who would be in the very left side of this, at 8. You have
you've already surpassed Biden.
Right, you're already and again, like after this, O'Rourke, you're going to put over on the left side as well, I think. Even though I think he's another one like Gillibrand who doesn't really believe anything, mm-hmm. but he's running certainly as a leftist. Then you have Booker, same thing. You put him over on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Yang, I think you'd put, he got 2% in that poll. You put him maybe on the more conservative or moderate sort of side. Again, these are all in quotes. These are Democrats mm-hmm. we're talking about. Klobuchar, you'd put over there with 1%. Gabbard, you'd have to put over on the left, 1%. Then who else? Anyone else there? You got Bullock would be on the moderate side, maybe. But he's at zero, so you can't count that as anything. Gillibrand also zero, which is amazing. I mean, this is, I mean, she has been just had a rough world. The one you might have a tough time placing at this point because he's given such little detail would be Buttigieg. Now,
Buttigieg is a guy who's saying, I want to change the Supreme Court.
He wants
Court.
15 Supreme Court justices.
Right.
So, and that is a radical proposal.
Mm-hmm.
He advocated a 49.999% top rate in taxes.
Jeez.
Now, again, on the Democratic side, where do you put that? I don't even know where to place that because as the United States, that's a crazy proposal, right? It's a massive tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
For Democrats, though, a lot of them are saying 70 and 80%.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's moderate or not, but I mean, I think you probably put him on the left side of this, though he, you could also just leave him in the middle. He's got another 5%. But if you add all this stuff up, you're at 29, 37, 39, 40, 43, 48 on the left. And on the quote-unquote moderate side, you've got 32 for Biden, but one for Klobuchar, 33. Yang, 2, 35, and that's it. So really, like, you know, it depends on how this breaks out. Biden, however, has a case to make to the left, right? I mean, the guy was in the most progressive administration, arguably, in history with Obama. I mean, you could certainly, there's other ways to argue that, but I mean, you could certainly make the case that he did more leftist things than any other president. He'd certainly be in the top three or four. He had a very progressive voting record coming into Congress, as I think he was number one or two as far as the most liberal senators when he was put in as VP. Yes, he has some positions that are, generally speaking, old, that they're trying to say, well, why did you believe this in 1981? Well, it was 1981. At the time, 1981, his positions were pretty liberal for 1981. It's just that they don't look so liberal now because mm-hmm. it was a long time ago. I mean, people confuse Biden's being moderate and just being old. He's just been around for a really long freaking time.
Right.
And he's a politician, unlike Sanders, who really is an ideologue. I mean, you know, Biden has somewhat conservative sounding quotes from his past because in the past, the Democrats were trying to portray themselves as were the middle of the road.
Correct.
Right? Like he was fitting the times,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I can understand.
Kind of goes with Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Sanders supporter, that's not good enough for you. And I understand that. But I mean, once it comes down to Biden, you know, against a couple of people on the left, he's going to be able to make a pretty good argument. I mean, remember, he was the one that announced the gay marriage acceptance yes. for the Obama administration. Yes. He beat Barack to that.
However, he is perceived. You have yeah. to put yourself into the way the Republicans felt. The Republicans had some good choices as well, besides mm-hmm. Donald Trump, that would work within the system. That's not what they wanted.
No.
They wanted somebody that would not work in the system. They wanted Donald Trump. They wanted somebody to overturn the apple cart. I think that's the real choice. What you have to watch in these debates tonight are for the people who want to overturn the apple cart, the pitchfork Democrats, the ones who are not saying that Donald Trump is the problem. They're all going to say Donald Trump is the problem. But what they're going to say also, the pitchfork Democrats, is Donald Trump is a nightmare. We got to get rid of Donald Trump. However, this system doesn't work. This financial system doesn't work, meaning the free market system. They may even come out and say that. We have to fundamentally transform this financial system. So the free market, they want to take and turn upside down. They want to turn our society upside down. They want to destroy the system that they think is broken and replace it with system X.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joe Biden, on the other hand, is the kind of candidate who is saying, no, we don't need to destroy the system.
We just need to get rid of essentially Trump. He's done lots of damage. If he come back to the Obama era, it'd be great.
Correct.
And
that approach didn't work with Mitt Romney mm-hmm. in 12. that approach is not going to, I think it's not going to work this time around. And the only reason, the only reason, I think Biden is perceived as, let me put it this way. Personally, Biden is the guy that I wouldn't want to be the presidential nominee, because I think there's a chance that you get enough what we used to call blue dog Democrats, people who usually vote Democrat, but they couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
Or see the Obama Trump voters.
Correct. Right? Mm-hmm. And the female Republican voters who just don't like Trump because they don't like how, you know,
stylistically,
yeah, yeah. Okay, that would look at Trump and Biden and say they're interchangeable, even though they're not. They're interchangeable. And I just feel more comfortable with him because he speaks, you know, softer, yada, yada, yada. I'm not sure how that ends up. I'm not sure how that ends up. So the one I'm afraid of is Joe Biden. However, I think the Democrats want to embrace this, burn the entire thing down. Now is the time. The left wants it, and the left is in charge. They're absolutely in charge. And so I think when you look at the numbers, what are the numbers again? You, when you add them all together.
We have 48 on the left, 35 moderate.
Right.
But again, 32 of that is Biden. And that's the thing. You know, you can make, if you want to make a case for Biden here, getting through this, you can find one. I mean, if you look at the two, if you look at the other side, because you're talking about like they wanted someone to turn over the system. That's why they went with Trump. Right. If you look at the 2016 from another perspective, one of the things that kept happening was Donald Trump was sort of in his own wing, really the only person running in that area. He kept leading the polls forever. And everyone kept saying, well, when these other candidates drop out and they start losing, they're going to coalesce behind somebody in that wing. The non-Donald Trump wing, and then Trump's going to lose. It was, you know, but like that didn't happen. People just kept going over to Trump, and he won relatively easily.
But I wonder, that's because people think, I just want to win. I don't want the other side to win. I don't want Hillary to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what the thing was. And I don't know that that is a strong enough pull for the radicals of the left.
Yeah.
You know, for the millennials and everything else, they don't want to vote for Joe Biden. They want somebody that will stand up for their ideas. So Joe Biden may win, but it won't be the young and it won't be the radicals. It won't be that. It won't be the passionate 10 or 15% at the bottom. They're not going to join. I just don't think they'll join.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think there's a thing going on the right, generally speaking, where you're like, you're looking at these debates and you're like, I don't care. They're all crazy leftists and I don't care. But it's like when your team has just won the championship game, okay, and you're going to the Super Bowl, you want to watch the other conference championship game because you want to see who it is. And sometimes it's difficult to pick who you would want. I mean, because I think Biden would be, there's a lot of people in that middle area, those Democrats that voted for Trump, who may be won over by Biden.
Or those Republicans who generally vote for Republican, but they can cross the aisle one way or another.
And of course, independents too, right?
Yes.
That might be won over. Trump's best way to get elected is someone like Elizabeth Warren that scares those people.
Yes.
The people in the middle are like, holy crap, she wants to do what?
Yes.
I'm not in love with Trump, but I got to go with him.
Correct.
That's the easiest way for him to win. However, it's also a high risk thing to root for someone who's, you know, that Trump can beat, because if you get a Warren or a Sanders in there, yeah, they might be easier for Trump to beat. But if he doesn't beat them, the entire country could really be transformed even more than what we saw with Obama. Sanders or Warren is like, that is hardcore ideologue remaking the country.
Oh, yeah. The country is, you'll have, Ocasio-Cortez and her ilk. That's what will be running the country. And it will not be the same. Oof. All right. More in just a second. You know, we found out yesterday about Google, or 2 days ago, from Project Veritas. I don't know if you saw the Google executive talk to Ted Cruz. We should play that audio when we come back in about a minute. But it's stunning. They are manipulating you. They are literally, in their own words, in their own what do you call it, the PowerPoint presentation, in their own, Google's own PowerPoint presentation, they are saying the people are programmed. After their algorithm, it programs people. I mean, that, what's that all about? Nobody wants this to happen, and they are tracking your every move, and they are going to be nudging you. They can't do that if they can't track you. So don't worry about Facebook, because Facebook can't gather any information if you have a VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Starts at $3.33 a month. If you sign up for a year, that's what it costs you. It is so well worth it. Keep yourself secure and nobody tracking you. Google not tracking, nobody tracking you. With Norton.com/VPN. We break for 10 seconds, station ID. If I were king of the world and I could make everybody pay attention to one thing, I think it would be the expose of Project Veritas this week. I think what they exposed needs to chill people to the bone. You need to wake up, because we are quickly leaving a time to where we can change this. I'm not sure we can change this. I was listening to Tim Pool the other day, and the way he explains it, I happen to think that he's right. Can we get Tim Pool on? He is the guy who has really been following this and knows. And we are looking now not at, oh, they're going to do facial recognition. Oh, they're watching and gathering all of our information on this. No. Don't worry about these things individually. Worry about them collectively, because when they have all of these devices, they control you, and they know it, and they talk about it, and the experts talk about it. There's book after book after book. This is total control and the ability to manipulate 350 million Americans, let alone everybody worldwide. This is why Europe is so against Facebook and so against Google. They've had so many problems over there. We're doing what China is doing to their people, except we're just doing it with private businesses. So Ted Cruz was talking to this woman from Google. Now, imagine that you had a huge scandal break and you're sitting down in front of Congress and you answer this question this way. Listen.
A lot of Americans have concerns that big tech media companies, and Google in particular, are engaged in political censorship and bias. As you know, Google enjoys a special immunity from liability under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. The predicate for that immunity was that Google and other big tech media companies would be neutral public fora. Does Google consider itself a neutral public forum?
Thank you, Senator. Yes, it does.
Okay. Are you familiar with a report that was released yesterday from Veritas that included a whistleblower from within Google, that included videos from a senior executive at Google, and that included documents that are purportedly internal PowerPoint documents from Google?
Yes, I heard about that report in industry news.
Have you seen the report?
No, I have not.
So you didn't review the report to prepare for this hearing?
It's been a busy day, and I have a day job, which is digital well-being at Google. So
yeah,
I'm
very
to make
busy.
Sure I keep the trains
well, I'm
on the
sorry,
track.
This
very
hearing
busy.
Is impending.
I don't know how they did that. Oh my gosh! All right, look, Patriot Mobile. We know who these people are, and quite honestly, your phone company is the same. They are taking, if you have a cellular service with one of the big phone companies, they are taking your money and they're giving it to places like La Raza and Planned Parenthood. You're funding them. Why would you do that? Patriot Mobile, they are on the same towers. They will give you the same coverage. They will give you a better price. You will save money. The hassle of switching over is not a hassle. Stop doing business with people who are against your values. Start doing business with people who are for your values and are supporting freedom of speech and the Bill of Rights. It's PatriotMobile.com. Please switch today. PatriotMobile.com. Use the promo code Beck. PatriotMobile.com. Promo code Beck.
I'm sitting right across the room right now from the 13th Amendment, the Emancipation Proclamation. You want to see these documents up close too? Mercury1.org.
As we approach Independence Day, we wanted to do something very special and very different here at the Mercury Studios. We have a museum that is opening up this Saturday, and we invite you to come. It is called 12 Score and 3 Years Ago, The Unfinished Promise of Unity. And it starts in a slave ship. You will walk through a slave ship. And this also has, I don't know what you call it, augmented reality in it as well through the museum. You'll be able to experience things in a different way. But before you get into the slave ship, we ask several questions. What is slavery caused from? What is the truth about slavery? What was American slavery any different than the slavery that was happening elsewhere in the world? Where was it happening? How many people came to America? How many people came to other parts of the world? Were we the worst offenders of this? You're going to learn things that you have never heard before. And it's pretty stunning. But we also are doing then and now, because I want to show you the patterns. When you learn from history, you can make sure that you don't repeat it. And so we have modern history side by side. And some of the things, I mean, walking out into our atrium here, we have probably the studios. How many square feet do you think that atrium is? I mean, I don't even know, 10,000 square feet, something more than that. I mean, it's enormous, this atrium in this building. It's a whole block long and four stories high, and it's pretty incredible in and of itself. Our atrium, I had to write a letter to the staff yesterday apologizing. I said, I'm not usually one for trigger warnings, but these are understandable trigger warnings. There are weapons of destruction against humanity that are in our atrium that I've never seen before, that are just horrific. There's in the center of our, everybody was freaking out when we put up the Klan display and showed everything is broken up into 9 different categories. And this one is the silencing of speech, the silencing of people, making sure that you intimidate and frighten people into silence. And so we have the KKK display, and it's pretty intense. I mean, it's creepy. It's very, very creepy. I had to write to the staff and said, I'm really sorry. It's going to be up for 2 weeks. You know, I understand, you know, how all of us feel about this, and please forgive us that this is where we're doing the museum. And look out, because it's going to get worse later today, because then we brought in, you remember the cage that they were burning people alive in, ISIS, and then they were dunking in pools. They took cages and dunked them in pools. We have a cage that has 2 ISIS execution uniforms, the orange jumpsuits. I don't know. We have a few of them, and I think we've avoided the one with blood all over it. But these mannequins in these jumpsuits are in this cage, and it is, and we have the uniform of an ISIS member, of someone that was killed. So we have the mask and the uniform and the gun and everything, and he's standing next to the cage, and it is horrific. It really is. But you will walk away with an understanding of history that you've never had before. You will see things that no one has ever seen before. You will see things that are really hard to see. For instance, in the studio, and I have to talk about them here because we got to get them back to a secure room. But these three pieces, we've been working with the Lincoln Museum, and they are remarkable. First, the Gettysburg Address, written in Lincoln's own handwriting. There were four of these that he made. He threw away the original, or actually he gave it to some newspaper guy who then transcribed it. And then he didn't think it was a big deal, so he threw it away. And later Lincoln was asked, could you write that out? So he wrote four of these in his own hand. This is the actual Emancipation Proclamation that was signed by Abraham Lincoln. And over here furthest from me, and if you're watching The Blaze, you'll be able to see it. And you just have to come to the museum or sign up for The Blaze to see it. But you can barely read the... This is in worse shape than the Declaration of Independence. But that's the 13th Amendment. And again, signed by Abraham Lincoln. They see the light of day in the museum about 3 days a year. So they're very... It's very, very rare to see them. If you'd like to see them... Along with the Juneteenth proclamation, proclamation number 3. I didn't even know this. Did you know this? Had you ever heard of Juneteenth before you moved here?
Not until I moved to Texas. Right. But it's a big deal here.
It's a national holiday. It is actually national holiday.
But it is one of those things where it just has the name of like a mall store. A sale. It's the Juneteenth sale. Like it feels...
It's exactly the way it feels.
So weird.
It is an amazing thing. Texas, the news of the slaves being free hadn't traveled down to Texas for, I think, almost 2 years. And so the slaves found out when the proclamation finally arrived. And it was, I think, June 19th. And so they call it Juneteenth. And when the proclamation finally arrived in Texas and it was announced, the slaves found out and were freed. June 19th. And it's an amazing story. We have that actual proclamation that came in to Texas here as well. Don't miss this, please. I ask that you would help us help stop slavery today. That's what this is all about. This really is to make you into a modern day abolitionist. We have looked for so many different ways to say to people, stop dwelling on blame on the past, because we're doing the same thing now. There are a few abolitionists that are standing up for Christians right now. How are the churches not flocking to help the Christians in the world who are being persecuted, who are being tortured? The things that we have from the Middle East right now that are in this building are horrifying. We're talking about in Washington and the news, we're talking about the border being a concentration camp. No, I'll show you what it is. I'll show you a horror show. We have the evidence of it right here. Is anybody going to look at it? It's actually stunning, the things you will learn about American history that you didn't know. It is stunning when you learn about things that are going on right now and you see the actual items. And it actually will be very uplifting for you and your family at the end. And we invite you to come. It's this Saturday here in Texas, and it goes until July 7th. Now, right now, if you buy a ticket at mercury1.org, you buy 50 tickets if you want to bring, you know, everybody in your church or whatever. You'll be upgraded. We're going to select one person that bought tickets from now until this time tomorrow. And we will pull a name tomorrow at this time. And whenever you bought your tickets for, you can choose whoever is here. And, you know, if I'm here, I think the last thing I'm doing is July 4th. Because I've got something I have to go to New York for, but David Barton will be here. I'll be here. Stu will be here. Other experts will be here. Me, if you buy when I'm here, I will give you a personal tour. And the personal tours are really great. But I want you to know I'm going to be here the whole time. Starting this Saturday, I'm going to be here every day, and I really want to shake your hand. I really want to talk to you. I really want to show you these things. So please come and join us. If you're anywhere in the area or you have the means to be able to fly down, please do. Mercury1.org is where you'll find all of the information for 12 score and 3 years ago, the unfinished promise of unity. 12 score tickets now at Mercury1.org. Okay, we have a Supreme Court update coming up in just a second. We live in really dangerous times, and there are things that we have to teach our kids that, you know, that they won't, that we never had to learn. We never had to learn about, hey, school shootings, mass shootings. Hey, where should you be if there's a mass shooter? How can you help if there's a mass shooter? What should you do? We didn't have to do any of those things. Right now, the USCCA, that's the United States Concealed Carry Association, is giving for free one of their most popular items on education, and that is the Complete Mass Shooting Survival Guide. I can't believe I'm saying that you should have this, but you should. It's a survival guide and audiobook. If you want one, it's free right now. They want to show you, the USCCA wants to show you what they do to help protect everyday Americans and help protect responsible gun owners. So if you want this Complete Mass Shooting Survival Guide, and that is, you know, what you need to know about mass shootings, how to survive attack, proven strategies for stopping shooters, you just text the word Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, to the number 87222. You do that right now, you'll get your guide, compliments of the USCCA. Hurry, because this offer ends June 28th. So text the word Glenn to the number 87222. That's G-L-E-N-N to the number 87222. Welcome to the program. Let's talk a little bit about the Supreme Court. We do have some news on this. We're expecting some pretty significant court rulings. The biggest one, I think, is on the census.
Census, yeah. So did not get that today. We are getting it tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the last day of the decisions. There were eight cases remaining. Three announced today. Five will come tomorrow. So the three that came out today, you've got one on kind of a criminal justice sort of situation where whether you have to go with a judge or a jury, basically. This had Gorsuch siding with the liberals for the ruling, and it kind of fits with his sort of libertarian take on things, in that he's basically saying, like, you got to have a jury for these things, and there's a law that basically kind of has the judge making the decisions on certain aspects of guilt and innocence that he didn't like. Then there was a...
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know
the ins and outs, and I have to read the review, but just what you said,
yes,
I feel like I would agree with him.
Generally speaking, you'd look at this and say, like, the Kavanaughs and Alitos of the world are more like, you know, criminal, like, they're tougher on criminals, you'd say, than the sort of libertarian lean. But, I mean, this is a known split between them. It didn't seem that dramatic. There was another thing about licensing for beer and wine stores in Tennessee, and another one about...
do we know how they ruled on that?
You want me to really get into the details of that?
I mean, if you can give it real quick.
It's about the 21st Amendment and the rights of states to be able to make their own liquor laws. And, you know, it...
So which way did they come down? The states get the right?
Yes, I think.
All right, good.
I think.
Dismantling federal power should be great.
Yeah, it was a... Yeah. So that's a... Mm-hmm. And then I didn't, again, look all that much into that one because it wasn't one of the bigger ones. And then there was another one about... I thought it was actually a big one, which was this concept of you have to basically... if there's a question about how an agency came up with their own regulation, do you defer to that agency's reading of the regulation, or do you essentially judge it against the Constitution, right? And of course, that one did not go the way I would have wanted it to.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah. I mean, and that's been a standard that's been around for a while. I think a terrible standard.
Horrible.
There's some definitely appetite to overturn it, but so far, no.
There should be an appetite to overturn that. An agency, and, you know, liberals need to understand this, and conservatives need to understand this. your agency can make any deal that it wants right now under a Republican. And they could say, you know what, we're going to take all the guns away from all Democrats.
Right. I mean,
this yes. obviously extreme. But if the agency is the final arbiter of that, not the Constitution, they can do whatever they want. And you don't want that.
No. They did state that while they allowed it here, there are limits to it. And they outlined those limits.
Okay, good.
So what's left? You have a couple of the big ones left. The census is left. We'll get that tomorrow. There's two gerrymandering cases that are been watched pretty closely. They're coming back.
And why are those important? What are they? What are the ramifications if it goes one way or the other?
Well, I mean, it's part. It's about partisan gerrymandering. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's one of those things where the left is very fired up about that because Republicans have been in control of these states so often recently mm-hmm. that they've been able to redraw these lines to their mm-hmm. advantage. Which, of mm-hmm. course, is what the Democrats do when they're in control. Mm-hmm. But now they're thinking about it because Republicans have done it more recently. So they've overturned. You remember Pennsylvania had an issue with this that was mm-hmm. overturned. And so we don't know how this one turns out yet. But, you know, the left is, you know, I mean, I would like it to just be very standard the way it was kind of designed initially.
Well, you know,
that was the way it was.
In the letters between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, mm-hmm. they said, you know, we should have put more Deuteronomy in it and we should have divided the country into stakes. And that's mm-hmm. what their idea was. In Deuteronomy, it's a stake is, you know, you're a collection of, let's say, 500 families, and that's a stake. And then when there's 550, you start to split that stake into two. So there's never more than 500 people, because that way, when you're electing a representative, you know that person. That person lives real close to you. Mm-hmm. The gerrymandering system has snaked these things out, yeah. so you don't know who's who.
You also have an Indian reservation case and one about whether you can draw blood from someone who's hammered when they're unconscious, because, which is pretty interesting without a warrant.
Well,
can you do that?
Did it in Transylvania. What's the problem?
It is the Transylvania precedent that is in the Constitution.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think that's right there with the good and plenty clause
that's true.
Of the Constitution.
I'm Hillary. That's your 4 minute buzz. And now here's Glenn and Stu with the last hour of the show.
Thank you so much. All right. Our sponsor is Cruise Builders, right? Yeah, Cruise Through History. We're going through a cruise through history. We're going to Croatia and Greece and Israel. We're going to Venice. Which is the one that you want to see the most, Stu?
Wow, that is impossible to answer.
I haven't gone through the actual ruins, but I stood on the Mars Hill right at the Acropolis looking up to it in the middle of the night. And I mean, it's like you're standing in a movie.
Yeah. I honestly can't. I have not thought of that, but I don't know. I can't just name one off the top of my head.
Incredible.
It all looks amazing.
Yeah. These are all on your bucket list. Bill O'Reilly is going to meet us in Israel. We're going to do a show. You'll have tickets to that. I think he's going to take the cruise up to Croatia with us. We'll be with you the whole time, teaching you history. It's going to be great. It's 100% taken care of. You don't even have to bring your wallet. I'm not going to be wearing pants because I don't need a pocket. So you don't have to bring your wallet. There's no tipping. There's no charges for anything. It's all inclusive. So bring your family if you can. Come sail away and learn the roots of what made America great and how it grew out of Europe and the Middle East.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
So a couple of weeks ago, my son and I are crossing the country. We're taking a road trip, and we stop at this place in Denver. And it's a business. And the TV is on, and we walk in, and we can't see the TV. And all of these adults, the customers, everybody, they're all standing around, and they're watching this TV. And I think, oh, geez, what big news thing has just broke? Nope, they weren't watching news. They were normal Americans, thank God. And they were watching a show that I thought I was the only one fascinated with. We have the host of Barnwood Builders. I don't know if you've ever seen this show, but it is great. We have the host, Mark Bowe, on with us in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Also give you some more updates on the Supreme Court and the debate that happens tonight. It's the first big debate. And that awful picture from over the border coming up in just a few minutes. Our sponsor this half hour is realestateagentsitrust.com. We have 1,000 active agents, and we have another 5,000 that are on a waiting list. We have lots of agents all across the country that want to be a part of realestateagentsitrust.com. But it takes us a while to be able to vet them, to really know who they are. Because I have to say, I trust these people. So I can send them to you, and you will say, I trust this person. I'll trust this person with my biggest investment probably in my life, my house, either helping me buy it or sell it. I have to trust that they have a high sense of urgency. That's why when you first contact Real Estate Agents I Trust, you usually get a return. I mean, unless it's in the middle of the night, you usually get a return in about 5 minutes, no more than an hour, but usually about 5 minutes. We want the people who feel urgency and know what they're doing. They know your neighborhood. They know your area. They know how to price the house. If you're moving into a new place, they know who you are. They'll know the areas that are right for you and your kids, for the right schools, et cetera, et cetera. It is my company, not a company that I'm recommending. This is my company, realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now to buy or sell your home, realestateagentsitrust.com. So I want you to listen to this guy's credentials. He is the host of DIY's Barnwood Builders. He worked his way through West Virginia University. He was a coal miner, earned a bachelor's degree in business administration. He's also a craftsman, a businessman, a historian, and a passable breakdancer. He holds a master's degree in safety management from West Virginia University College of Business. He founded his company, Antique Cabins and Barns, in 95. He expanded that business into what it is today, Barnwood Living. And they started to make a documentary film, I believe, about old log cabins. And it turned into what now is a hit TV show that I find fascinating. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Hey, thank you for having me, Glenn.
You bet. You bet. Are you surprised by the success of the show?
I think it's surreal. You know, sometimes we're all in a pickup truck driving down the road, and we just look at one another and without saying a word, just bust out in laughter.
Right.
That you know, six hillbillies have a TV show, and it's real. It's not made up.
Right. I know. You know what? I'm fascinated by a couple of things. First, I own an old log cabin, and that's why your name came up. Is because I'm restoring an 1800s cabin that is in Idaho, one of the first settlers, and we're expanding it, and taking it apart has been a nightmare because we're just so, you know, you take out the chinking and the thing almost falls down, which I didn't know that would happen. You really have to know what you're doing, and I don't, but. I have been approached. I was stopped by this 80-year-old woman in the grocery store. She said, "Mr. Beck," and I said, "Yes." She said, "You just bought the property with this 1880s log cabin." I said, "Yes, ma'am. That is a historic site, and you are. What have you done with that cabin? I heard you took that cabin down." And I'm like, "No, no, no. We haven't. We're restoring it." And she's like, "That is a historic site." I'm like, "I know." Do you ever get any heat from people on taking these things down, because they are treasures?
They are. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that my marketing team, which is me, didn't do a very good job of making ourselves known to you, or we would have taken it down. We would have taken that thing down for you. So I've got to get on the marketing department, which is myself.
Well, okay. Well, you have a strong talking to. I didn't even think about calling you guys, you know, because I mean, I'm just doing it myself. I didn't even think about calling you guys. But we just hired a guy to do chinking, which I think somebody should have a problem with the name. I know it's not racist, but it sure sounds racist. There's so few people that I apparently do it right. But as I'm interviewing this guy, I don't know what to ask. I'm just like, can you put the white stuff in between the logs? And he's like, yeah. You're hired.
Yeah, right. Well, that's how it goes. I think that to your point earlier there, we do have and come across some really historic buildings, and we try to leave those in place. If it's a first building or it's got, documented history, the thing we do first is a consultation with the homeowner and see if they want to restore it on site. But a lot of times, for example, these bicentennial farms and some of the other things that are you see in Ohio and Pennsylvania, these structures are no longer used because farming and lifestyles have changed. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing is a lot of dilapidated barns across the country. So I feel like if we're not repurposing these structures, then we're going to forget about, this history, because they're going to just rot. They're going to fall over, and Mother Nature takes care of enough things like tornadoes. I've gotten a lot of calls in the last 2 weeks, so I think we are seeing a lot of the landscape change.
They are beautiful. And as somebody who's I was just building a fence and taking down an old fence, and some of these fences were put in with telephone poles, and I have to tell you, if I didn't have power tools, if I didn't have a backhoe, I would have stopped. There's no way to do it. I can't believe when you see these old homes that you are taking down, these old barns that are all hand hewn, they are all hand cut. These guys, you cannot walk away from an old barn or something like that and not walk away with just tremendous amounts of respect for how hard people worked.
Man, it's incredible. You think back to the pioneers, and you think that they show up in a wagon, and there's a family, and they start cutting down trees and dragging the trees out, with force, and then taking a broad axe, squaring that beam up, then putting a dovetail notch on it with a handsaw, and start to stack those logs. And some of the barns we're taking down, it's got 10x10 beams that are 6 feet long, and that every time we get one, we're just thinking, how in the world did they get in here? And who else are we going to hire to chink this thing?
So if somebody has a barn, can they just call you and you'll look into it? And do you buy these? Are they given to restore? How does this work?
Well, like any other business, Glenn, we like buy low and sell high. And I always say that we're slow, but we're expensive.
Yeah.
So we, years ago, we used to take them down and clean the site up real well. And then over the years, barns has become more popular. So I buy the barns now, and I think I give more than most people do, because I understand the history. And, it's really hard to approach somebody when you're buying a family heirloom.
Yeah.
And, what's that worth?
Right.
And that's always a difficult part for me as a businessman, is that, it's got to work out for everybody. So, we hadn't got a barn in a while.
Well, Mark, it's good to talk to you. And I may take you up in the future on, because I want to build a barn, but I don't want to build a new one. I'd like to take an old barn and reclaim it and then shore it back up and rebuild it. I just love these old structures, and you're exactly right. This why I love you is you guys are saving history that has just been left to fall apart, and it will rot if we don't save them. And they're so cool. They are just so great.
Well, I think a lot part to the success of our show has to do with the fact that we honor those old time skills and those trades that the pioneers used to build these houses.
Yeah.
And the other thing about us, we don't fight, don't argue. We have fun working. It's really hard. And at the end, it's, I've got a saying that you work hard, behind it, and take pride. And I think if you do those three things, it shows in your work and it shows in your attitude. And that's been part of the show.
Mark, thank you so much. Good talking to you. What'd you say?
Have you ever been in a room with hillbillies?
With a bunch of hillbillies? No. No, but I did watch, what is it, Lucky Logan or Logan Lucky? I did see that. So I've seen Daniel Craig's version of a hillbilly.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we'll be glad to meet you.
All right. Good. Good to talk to you, Mark. Thank you so much. That is Barnwood Builders, and you can find out more about it at barnwoodbuilders.com. If you've never seen the show, it's on DIY, and it is really, truly great. I should have called them. So stupid.
Yeah, maybe they would have done it as part of the show. You wouldn't even have to. Do you have to pay for those in those reality shows?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I have no idea.
Does the homeowner pay for that stuff?
I'm sure they do.
So they're
maybe you get a discount on it. I don't know.
So the show just comes in. They get the episode, and that they're just like basically covering a normal transaction that would have occurred anyway.
You know what's amazing is they take these things apart, and they take them apart so carefully. And it's most of them are like post and beam. So it's like this old, you know, whittled, you know, plug, like a nail that's made out of wood that they whittled out and drilled a hole in, holding this whole barn together. And they pop that thing out, and it's amazing. I don't know how people did it back then. I really don't. We dug holes with a drill. I don't know what you call it. But, you know, on the front of a cat, drilling down to drop the posts in. I dig out that for 4 feet down by hand? No, we don't need a post. I don't care if cows are living in the living room. I don't need a post.
And we complained about our lives today.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know, when you have your food doesn't come right in the drive-thru, you're like, what the? Come on. And that is
really
frustrating,
by the
way. But you know
what? But I will tell you this. That is, you can't do this right. Now, like a post.
Right.
You know, you're digging down 4 feet. That's mm-hmm. hard. Mm-hmm. So you don't get that exactly right, right, you know, on a couple of the posts. I get it. But this is... All you had to do is walk over with a bag, grab the things marked that I just told you I wanted, put them in the bag, put some straws and some napkins, and hand me the bag.
It's better than chasing it around a field, though, and trying to capture it and then cook it yourself.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It is frustrating. But,
yes, it is.
The world is a lot easier these days.
Yeah. Now, a few things in life can really change your entire outlook on your day. And that is, one of them is your car having problems. That really is not good. Not good. One of those day ruiners, and can be a month ruiner. And if it's enough, it could be something that ruins your year. If you have something go wrong in your car and it's $2,000-$3,000, that could wipe you out for the year. Don't live like that. If your car is out of warranty, make sure you get Car Shield. They make the process of fixing your car for covered repairs really easy. Anybody can do it. You can have your favorite mechanic or you can have the dealership, but you're not waiting for the check. They pay them directly. They also provide 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. Car Shield. They have paid out close to $2 billion in claims. So don't let your check engine light change your life. Get covered now with Car Shield. Call 800-CAR-6000. 800-CAR-6000. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com. Use the promo code Beck and save 10%. That's carshield.com. Deductible may apply. 10 seconds, station ID. Now, have you seen the picture, this horrible, horrible picture of what appears to be a father and child?
Yes, that is confirmed.
Face down in the water. How old was the child?
I want to say 23 months old.
2 years old.
Brutal.
Trying to cross the river to come into the United States, and they're on the American side, and they drown. They're dead.
Yeah, well, how that happened is just crushing. Basically, they were going to go across and try to get asylum in the United States. The legal bridge, I guess, they were supposed to cross was closed for a couple of days. They looked at the water. They said, it's not too bad. Let's try to swim over. So it's mother, father and this toddler. And so the plan is basically the dad is going to swim across the river with the toddler and then come back for the mother. So, I mean, look, this issue, you know, when it comes to policy is one thing to just these are horrible stories.
This has got basically to stop.
So basically he puts his 2 year old in this, in it, like in his shirt. So, so the 2 year old stays on his back, crosses the river safely, puts the 2 year old down on the American side, starts going back for the mom. The toddler doesn't understand, tries to go after him.
Oh my gosh.
And gets caught in the water. He realizes it, comes back, gets her again. And then, loses control in the current. And I mean, and the mom is on the other side of the river watching all of this happen. So the picture, I mean, it is devastating, is, you know, this father with his daughter caught, is like inside his shirt and her arms are like wrapped around him. It is, you know, it, they were talking about it in the media as if it's this, it's like, you know, the Syrian picture that we all know, or the picture from Vietnam that we all know, like this really, you know, and I actually think it's true. Like, it is that
powerful.
Powerful. The point, however, it communicates is something completely different than what the media is saying.
Thank you for that.
Which is like, hey, please stop doing this.
You know, I yesterday also at the same time, you know, they didn't cover the picture of the Border Patrol guard that saw this happening in another area and jumped in to save the people. They were losing control and the Border Patrol happened to be there. And the guy saw that they were drowning. He jumped in and he saved them. Now, why didn't you cover that one?
Right.
The point is, stop this. Stop it.
Yeah.
And you know, yesterday with Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying, oh, you know what? We're going to have all this funding for all these new spaces. You're encouraging this.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need funding right now.
Yes, they do.
The Trump administration has asked for it.
I agree. But they're not doing anything at the same time to stop it. They're still encouraging it.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And I think you look at the interesting part of this as well, the narrative of who these people are. Right. Who are these people that are coming to the United States? We're told over and over again, these are asylum seekers because of war, violence, terrorism, gangs in Honduras and in Central America. Well, this family, however, not that situation at all. They actually came because they had two kids, but they were trying to raise a family and could not earn enough money in Mexico. And they were planning on asking for asylum. Which is not how that should work. If you, I think he legitimately was working at a Papa John's in Central America and not making enough money, could not find a job. He was struggling too much to support his family. And so this is more of the traditional, as you would think about illegal immigrant who decided he's going to come to the border. However, as they admit, they were going to ask for asylum, which is exactly the point Trump and other Republicans have made, in that they're using asylum for something it's not meant to be used for. And that is the central part of this. It is a little different than our traditional arguments about illegal immigration, because these are asylum claims and these asylum laws have to be changed. They have figured this out. And when you know, a group of people who want to come here illegally realize, okay, if I do asylum, I have much better chance of being able to stay in the United States. And they're utilizing that. They're manipulating that system. You have to change the laws. So right now, it puts all the onus on the United States to basically believe every single person who comes across the border and says the word asylum, and that doesn't make any sense. So that's why there's this overwhelming amount, and that is reportedly what is going on with this terrible, terrible situation with this father and daughter. I mean, it's if you have kids, it's really tough to look at something like that. I mean, it is...
And it's heartbreaking because you feel for people who... Look, I'm working. I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm trying so hard, and I can't make it. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I do. And so there's legal ways to come here. There are legal ways to come here.
Yeah.
You could get a visa and just come and work here. So
it's not acceptable, though, to break the law. And look,
no, it's
beyond
dangerous.
It's dangerous. I mean, they keep saying, like, this highlights the perilous journey. Yeah, it's perilous. It really is, and you shouldn't try it. You shouldn't try doing that. I mean, it's so bizarre here. You have a poor kid and her father dying here. And the lesson is not,
hey, guys, don't attempt that same behavior because the same thing may very well happen. There might not be a border agent to pull you out of the river next
time. And if there were Hispanics that were doing this to get away from Cuba at the height of its problems, do you think conservatives would be saying, hey, we need a wall around Florida? We would be saying we got to help these people.
In real asylum claims.
They're in real asylum claims. Yeah. There's an issue there. We've got to help them.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Let me tell you about our sponsors, Relief Factor. I love being up at the ranch, but I have to tell you, the altitude is really, really hard on my body. I'm not good with cold. I'm not good with elevation, and it dramatically increases my pain. I will tell you, I had more good days than I think I've had in I don't know how many years up at the ranch. Even at the altitude, even going up and down across the Rockies was painful. But I got through it with Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. I don't care what your pain is. It can be from a football injury. You can't play golf anymore. Your hands hurt. Whatever it is. 100% drug-free. It was created by doctors. Just try it for 3 weeks. It's $19.95. Yes, you'll be out $19.95 if it doesn't work. But 70% of the people who try it, it does work. And they go on to order more month after month. There's four key ingredients, so try it. You lose $20 if it doesn't work, you're part of that 30%. But if you're part of the 70, you get your life back. It's ReliefFactor.com.
June 29th, just 3 days away, till July 7th, the Mercury One Museum. It is stories that the media is not covering. Go to mercuryone.org to get tickets.
By the way, we want to invite you to get your tickets now to our pop-up museum. You will learn things that you never learned in history. The elites are failing to report on history, and you will see the things that the media is failing to report today. 12 score and 3 years ago, then and now, the unfinished promise of unity. If you buy your tickets today at mercuryone.org, you can tomorrow morning, I'm going to pick out a name and let's say about 10 tickets. You and your nine friends or family members are going to get a tour with whoever you pick. If I'm, somebody you want to go to do the tour with, that's a really, expensive, tour. But we spend like an hour together and you get it for free. You get it for the price of your tickets. So, all you have to do is buy a ticket today. And who knows, tomorrow morning you may be upgraded. Natalie Bonanno was the winner today. I don't know who she picked to go on a tour with. Might have been used to. Might have been
probably
you.
Was if they had a choice.
Yeah, sure.
That's usually the way it works.
All right. Get your tickets now. MercuryOne.org. The museum opens up this Saturday and runs through July 7th. You don't want to miss it. MercuryOne.org. Okay, the debate is tonight. And Stu, there are two categories, I believe. There are the very small number that is not doing well, with an exception of Joe Biden, that says Trump is the problem. America is not the problem. Then there's the other category of people who say America is the problem. So do you have a list of what the main thrust of these campaigns are?
Yeah, sure. We had a kind of broken them down into a quote unquote moderate, which is not actually moderate, but like the Joe Biden category. And there you have, Biden, Klobuchar, probably Yang, Hickenlooper, Bennett, Bullock, Delaney, Ryan, and Moulton.
But they've all kind of staked out their own thing, haven't they?
Yeah, some of them have. Like right. Certain, and a couple of the, like Hickenlooper and Delaney are somewhat notable to conservatives because they both came out in big speeches and said, socialism's not the answer.
Correct.
And that's like, obviously, they're both at 0%.
Right.
And that's an issue.
And what's his name? Swalwell. He's known. He's taken on Second Amendment.
Single issue gun campaign,
correct,
basically. There's a few of those who are kind of, break down on that. Like, for example, another one I would put in that category, single issue category, Jay Inslee, who's been talking about climate change almost exclusively.
Okay.
But they have a
that
breakdown.
Explains his 0%.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. People, and there is just not, even in among Democrats, that is a low priority for almost all of them. And you see that reflected in their numbers. When it comes to guns, yeah, you're right, Swalwell. That's his number one topic by a big margin, and he talks about guns more than any other candidate. Foreign policy, interestingly enough, Tulsi Gabbard is number one on that. She talks about foreign policy about 70% of the time.
Wow, and she's not really going anywhere either.
She's not going anywhere either. Interesting thing about her, she's such a bizarre candidate. I mean, she has a very strange history when it comes to you know, all sorts of issues like gay rights, and they're very against what the mainstream Democrat position would be on such topics. Also, like, the big defender of Assad in Syria. Like, she has been on that route. Also was, and this just came out about 2 days ago, an exclusive, a huge dump of transition documents of the Trump administration. The Trump administration actually vetted her for a role in foreign policy, which is, she's the only candidate in the field that was vetted for a role inside the Trump administration. Very strange, but she is a very much a non-interventionist, which is, coincides a lot. You know, Trump has always kind of been in that.
Well, he's a warmonger non-interventionist.
Right, he's a warmonger when that's convenient, and he's, you know, when the media needs to say that, and then he's a non-interventionist when they need to say that.
Okay. Who's taking on health?
Healthcare is a very popular one, and I would say the number one overall issue for Democrats, as they've talked about so far. Elizabeth Warren is her number one topic, healthcare, as well as Gillibrand, Klobuchar, and you know, some of the more minor
candidates.
Biden's this is an interesting one. Number one issue for Joe Biden. You have here are the categories: healthcare, foreign policy, climate change, income inequality, gun control, immigration, social justice, and corporate power. Has been all put together by the Washington Post. What's the number one thing Biden is talking about?
Social justice and corporate power?
Interesting guesses. No. and I think it's interesting because you think of Biden. He's in a situation where he doesn't need to do anything, right? Like, he doesn't need to excite people with policy right now. He's winning already. So he just needs to kind of stay in a place that's generally speaking non-controversial among Democrats. Where does he go? 37% of the time, climate change.
What?
Yeah. So again, like, there's not a lot of impact among voters with climate change.
I thought he would be more along the lines of doing something mushy, not talking about social justice like everyone else is talking about social justice, just talking about the inequality of the system. And hey, I'm Lunch Bucket Joe, and I can relate to you, and we're gonna make sure that we close that gap, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I could see that. Climate change, though, is basically you saying, what's the communication about climate change? We want the planet to be nice for everyone, right? Like, that's how the left looks at it. It's just like this, everyone's on the same page on climate change. It's an easy topic for the left among the left. This next one is education. Same thing, you know, like, that is not a controversial, tough issue where you're splitting, you know, where gun control, right? Like, some people would say, okay, we want the Second Amendment, we're going to ban this. Some people would say we want Australia's laws. They all want more gun control, but there's different variances of that, and that can lead to a split. Climate change, yes, you're going to have, there's a split between, like, we're going to remake the entire economy and give, you know, make regulate cow farts. There's the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sort of craziness. But generally speaking, it's an easy topic to talk about for Democrats because we got to do something, you know, blah, blah, blah.
All right. What is what's Elizabeth Warren's number one? You said already it was.
Healthcare was healthcare. One, and family issues at number two. She also has education and climate change is up there as well, social justice, corporate power. I would have said corporate power, I think, on that one, because that's a big focus for her. One of her big topics is breaking up the big tech companies.
Right.
Which is interesting because, you know, right now the big tech companies are trying to destroy Republicans while Elizabeth Warren is out there campaigning on trying to break them up, which is fascinating to see. So I think it's an interesting debate tonight in that, I think would all be really bad presidents. Right? Like, there's a field of now 25, 20 of them you'll see on the debate stage tonight and tomorrow night. They'll all be really bad presidents for my taste and your taste as well. But you do want to know who you're going against, and you want to know how extreme that is. So if Donald Trump is going up against Elizabeth Warren, that's a different race than Donald Trump going up against Joe Biden or Andrew Yang or somebody else.
He said it looked boring, but he was going to watch it. And I'm sure he will.
Yeah, you want to know.
You'd want to know.
You want to be able to pick up on those things.
Correct.
So they had this split among the two nights.
The way they did this is they said, okay, you got to get a certain amount of donors, 65,000 individual donors, and you need to show up at least at 1% in these polls. And they got 20 people who qualified for that. You know, there was one other candidate, I think it was on, I think it was Bullock that missed it. But he, you know, he kind of qualified. He'll probably be in the next debates. Anyway, long story short, they got 20 people to qualify, and they said, well, how are we going to split this up? Democrats have been saying, you know, remember last time after the hacks, we realized they really were favoring mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton over Bernie. So they wanted to make sure everything was completely random. So they broke it up in a random way. And what happened was you really only got one front runner in this first debate. It's Warren.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like justice.
I know.
Random? Letting everything just by chance?
I know. That's a good point.
You're not leveling the playing field.
That's true. I mean, there's no way. When you have these ridiculous opinions like the left yes. does, you can't make it work. It's not right. It's not workable. So they divided this up into two. So it kind of the split is interesting on several different levels. Elizabeth Warren is probably the most interesting piece of this because she is not there to fight against Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. None of the front runners are in her debate. It's just her. So,
and it's the first one. Mm-hmm. It's the first one.
Yes.
So there may be an audience.
Yes.
The next time, there may not be that audience at the kiddies table.
Right. And it's they're trying to say it's not the kiddie table, but it's hard to claim that.
Yeah.
Because she is basically in third place in most polls. And there's no one else in the top five in this debate. So she's in this position where I think this helps her. There's been arguments on both sides of this. I believe it helps her because she doesn't have to do really anything. She's not a target of a lot of the lower candidates because she's in third place. You don't tack third. And all she has to do is kind of trot out some basic policy proposals mm-hmm. that will be well received. And she doesn't have to worry about getting any fights and losing. My guess is she's going to come out of this unscathed. Now, Elizabeth Warren is uniquely capable of screwing things up, so she may be able to do that.
She may also, I mean, if you're at 0% and you can get into a fight with number three.
Yeah, I mean, it might be worth it.
Might be worth trying.
Well, this is the sort of Apollo Creed concept in that mm-hmm. if you in Rocky, mm-hmm. he's flipping through the book of all the unknown candidates. He's like, how about this guy? Oh, he's dead. He's retired. What about the Italian stallion? And his trainer smartly says, he's a southpaw. I don't want you messing around with any southpaws. Like, that's the problem here. You have big hitters who are just going to, they don't care. There's nothing to lose for Rocky Balboa. There's nothing to lose for, Tulsi Gabbard or John Delaney. They're at 0%.
Correct.
What are they going to do? They can take all sorts of shots. That's why I think, though, I think on the other debate, that's going to be more of an issue. People are going to do that to Biden. They may even do it to Sanders. I mean, Warren is a secondary figure in all of this, and I don't think is going to be as big a target. So she may come through this unscathed. I think that the split helps her. I think it also helps people like Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke, and Amy Klobuchar, who are at that level where they're usually 2% or above, which is actually notable compared to a lot of these candidates that are at zero. But you know, Beto O'Rourke is coming in at 4% of the vote, 5% of the vote. He has a chance to actually be on a big stage and be the focus. He may be able to make his name. Same thing with Cory Booker, who in front of every stage will always try to draw attention to himself. He's going to be able to maybe have a chance at that. Klobuchar is supposed to be a good debater.
What movie character is he going to be tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Spartacus he's used already. Hercules?
Maybe he just comes out and says, I am Batman.
Yeah, I like it.
He could.
And just start with that.
So let me ask you this, uh-huh. too. If it comes down between Biden and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Who gets the nomination? I think it's Biden.
I think it's Biden.
If it comes down between Biden and Elizabeth Warren, who gets the nomination?
I think there it's Biden.
I think it's Biden by a breath.
Yeah, it's closer, I think.
Yeah.
I think Sanders has his hardcore crew, but that's it. I think Warren can bring a little more people along. I think if it's Biden and Kamala Harris, I think that is if she can perform well, and I think she's hurt by this debate split, by the way, because she's kind of put in this position where the Sanders Biden thing is going to be top tier. Mm-hmm. So anybody under that, and I think that includes Buttigieg, it includes Harris, it includes Gillibrand, it's going to be struggling to get attention. But if she can do it, she can do a decent job. She walks that line between the groups better than some of these other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's come out with some real pro-Israel comments, mm-hmm. Kamala Harris, which is kind of shocking. Buttigieg, I think, has that potential as well. You know, I think someone like a de Blasio would be better served to be in that second debate, because he is a guy who is going to take these big bomb shots and try to, you know, draw attention to himself. And the fact that he's in this debate with Elizabeth Warren, and that maybe less people are watching, and that actually might hurt a guy like de Blasio. He's on tonight. But I think like Kamala Harris, Buttigieg, and Gillibrand, although I don't see how Gillibrand's ever coming out of the dark corners of this race she currently is in. If you had any chance, you'd like to see Gillibrand, if you're in her campaign, in this debate with Elizabeth Warren, where maybe someone else shines. Someone other than Elizabeth Warren will make a name for themselves or have some sort of moment here. And in the other debate, it might not happen, because you've got Sanders and Biden fighting it out. Then you also have Harris and Buttigieg. So you have four of the top five contenders all at the same time. If you're in that bottom tier, how are you breaking out of that? It's going to be difficult for, you know, give, you know, someone like a Eric Swalwell, right? Like, how does Eric Swalwell? He's the worst. But how does he make any noise in that race? You got four top tiers. That's what everyone's going to care about. The other one, you have a chance for a secondary candidate to make some noise, and that's why Booker or Klobuchar could actually make some, Beto maybe do some damage here.
Elizabeth Warren just needs to hold her own.
That's all she has to do.
Just look presidential and hold
survive
her
the
own.
Night.
Yep, survive the night. By the way, we can watch this for you so you don't have to. Mm-hmm. We'll give you all of the blow-by-blows tomorrow. And also on tomorrow's program, it looks like the big Supreme Court decisions are coming down. The census decision looks like it may be written by John Roberts, which is never good. We'll get into that tomorrow with the experts as they come out. I want to talk to you about X-Chair. I love my X-Chair. X-Chair is a chair. I've had all kinds of chairs. I've had, you know, I've done this for 40 years. I've sat on everything and things that are supposed to keep you really comfortable and work on your back and blah, blah, blah. I bought one of those really expensive chairs. I don't know what they're called. The people who make the airport chairs, which those aren't that comfortable. This is the best chair you can get for an office. You get in one of those chairs and you realize this is a ripoff. I don't know what you're paying for, but it isn't support. It is not great. This is a great chair. Mm-hmm. It has 10 different adjustments on it. You can adjust it any way you want. It fits your body. It fits exactly wherever you need the arm rests. That's exactly where they are. Wherever you need the lumbar support, that's exactly where it is. This is a great chair. I want you to try it for 30 days. If you don't love it, and I'm telling you, you're going to love it. If you don't love it, send it back. No questions asked. It's xchairbeck.com. Get $100 off right now. Just give it a shot. 844-4-X-CHAIR. Our bodies aren't the same. And you're probably thanking God for that right now. But our bodies aren't the same. What is comfortable for me may not be comfortable for you. But that's why this has 10 different adjustments on it. And that's why they also have the money-back guarantee. Try it. Get $100 off now at xchairbeck.com or call 844-4X-CHAIR. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. On tomorrow's show, we have the Supreme Court decisions, an analysis on it, and what happened at the debate, winners, losers, and the like.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.